This is the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles. Look for Wickles Pickles at a grocery store near you and bring those tangy and fresh pickles to your home. Now, here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
Name, image, and likeness, or NIL. It's now part of college athletics across the country. On July 1st, student athletes could sign to represent a company and earn revenue while in college for the first time. Bo Nix was the first to announce at Auburn. Olympic gold medalist Suni Lee is also reaping the rewards of her success while attending Auburn. Richard Green, assistant athletic director in compliance, is Auburn's point person on NIL. Auburn has student athletes in every sport taking part in name, image, and likeness. Richard Green is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles. Welcome in on the Talking Tigers podcast presented by Wickles Pickles. Our guest today is Richard Green, assistant athletic director at Auburn University. And our topic today is NIL, name, image, and likeness, and what Auburn is doing with regard to name, image, and likeness. Glad to have you with us today, War Eagle.
War Eagle, Andy, thanks for having me.
How about just a little bit of a background, Richard, just on your time in administration, athletic administration? Where's home? Where'd you go to school?
Okay. I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. Went to high school at DeSoto High, big-time athletic school, so at least in the region. So that, I guess, helped me start get my interest in athletics, you know, just being a part, running track there. And I never kind of lost my passion for athletics. So I've been around a little bit, like Ohio, Texas, Hawaii, most recent school before coming here. Has a couple stops at the NCAA. One stop at the NCAA, actually, internship there in enforcement. So after about 5 years in Hawaii, I came here, and I've been here for about 3 years now.
Where'd you get your bachelor's degree?
I'm a USC guy, so the other USC, Southern California.
Yeah. Okay. All right. When did you in earnest look to a career in athletics and then in compliance?
That's interesting. I would say as far as athletics, as early as college. Like, I'd intern. I got my start in media relations, which is – so I'm always kind of tight with our media people here, yeah, wherever I go.
Yeah.
So I was an intern in there writing for the school paper. So I always knew I wanted to be around, like, athletes, coaches, you know, students. So I knew pretty early that I would be in athletics. As far as athletics compliance, that took a little longer.
Yeah.
You know, it took a little more experience with the rules and administration and things like that. And that probably came about for the last 10 years.
Name, image, and likeness, you see something about it almost – every day.
Mm-hmm.
How did you become one of the point people at Auburn with regard to NIL?
Well, you know, what's funny is you never things happen and you never remember how you got here. And you're just looking like, how did I get, you know, how did I go? So I came here primarily as a sport contact for Olympic sports, you know, which is something I really wanted to do. I knew Auburn was already great in the Big Three. You know, baseball had a trip to World Series, basketball had a trip to Final Four. Football is always, you know, perennially pretty good here at Auburn. So I wanted to come work with Olympic sports, you know, and which was fine. It was great. I enjoyed working with tennis and volleyball, new coaches, and just trying to help, you know, build our brand in those areas. And then NIL just happened. It's just suddenly like, hey, the rule's going to change. And I think we were all expecting some action from Congress, and we can get into that later, or some action from the NCAA or Congress to kind of stem the tide. And suddenly on about July 1st of last year, we realized this is a thing, and somebody's got to help administrate, and somebody's got to help educate. And I just kind of volunteered, and it's taken off since then.
It's interesting the way it has developed, mm-hmm, across the country, certainly here at Auburn. I think we all remember that first day, and I think Bo Nix was the first one to announce.
Right.
It has grown dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
It is in every sport at Auburn University, regardless of whether it's one of the high-profile sports, mm-hmm, or an Olympic sport. I mean, it is across the entire athletics landscape,
isn't
it?
That's right. Yeah, every sport's at least represented in some way so far through about, 4 months here. Every sport's got at least one transaction.
Yeah. If you would, give us an idea, kind of give us the landscape of the Auburn athletes and the kind of money that they are able to raise, earn, I guess is a better way to put through NIL right now.
For sure, for sure. I got to be a little bit careful here. I know my supervisor and general counsel will be listening, so I'll try to be good about this. First of all, most contracts have some sort of confidentiality clause. So if I sound vague or not forthcoming, it's because I'm just trying to protect the rights of the athletes for the contracts we see. But by like amalgamation, like, you know, the total number of contracts, I would say to start with, just by gender, we were fairly gender balanced, to be honest with you, prior to start of football season. So that might surprise a lot of people. Like, but women's sports are definitely engaging. Their level of engagement is high in name, image, and likeness, as much as, you know, the big sports, football, basketball, baseball. So that's the first thing. Now, of course, football, when it took off, skew those numbers towards football because fans are engaged in it and they want to reach out to the athletes. Different businesses want to reach out to the athletes while they're in season. But I would estimate by gender that I think by the end of the year, if you had to ask me, when, you know, when gymnastics takes off, we got a special gymnast here. People tend to know. In softball and you know, tennis, so some of the spring sports, I imagine by the end of the year we're going to be fairly gender balanced. But to answer your question, the money. Athletes, varying levels of success. Lots. It depends on the kind of deal you're in. Let me put it that way. You know, obviously, if you get with a big brand, you know, you're looking at significant figures, six to seven figures. If you're an athlete, either in one deal or over the course of the long haul, most deals I find are not like that. Most deals are unrepresented deals. Athletes just reaching out, companies reaching out to them via social media. It's a little more organic. You know, hey, you know, it's support my organization. You get a percentage of the sales. Support my clothing company. Support my drink company. And then for every percentage of sales, you know, you get this. And it's hard to right now describe what kind of income they get from that because that's ongoing constantly, right?
Yeah.
So athletes are constantly making some sort of income. So to answer your question, like what we reported, of course, overall, Auburn athletes have done, you know, very well. Rich McGlynn, a senior associate athletic director in compliance, did an announcement or a meeting last week. I think you were part of that. And of influencer, and we'll go back into them, of their total engagement and name, image, and likeness. And this might be over 100 schools. I'm not sure. You know, Auburn represents at least a fourth or a fifth of that. So we've done, you know, fairly well in the marketplace.
Folks may have heard of influencer. Talk about the influencer role at Auburn University, if you would.
For sure, for sure. Well, I can talk about it in name, image, and likeness context, and I'll go backwards. When it comes to name, image, and likeness, you just have to picture the process, and it takes some slowing down to imagine. You know, the athlete goes out with a third party, and they make a deal. Well, the state law requires that they disclose the deal. How do you disclose it? Do you send in a contract? Do you send in the paper? Do you write emails? It can get clunky, you know, without a centralized process for disclosure. So influencer, through their what we call the verified app, has created a possibility, an option for athletes to where when they go on their cell phones, they can disclose through the app the information from the contract. So it's kind of centralized, standardized, same questions, same ability to attach any information they want to attach to the contract. So it gives athletes, one, the ability to easily disclose in a consistent manner their name, image, and likeness contracts as required by state law. The second thing it does is obviously it's a big information storage. You know, obviously, you know, when they enter this information, you get an idea of, you know, where these contracts are coming from, who they're coming from, and for about how, you know, how much athletes tend to make. So it's a lot of information comes out of the influencer app.
For a student athlete, and they have contacted or have been contacted by someone that wants to pay them for whatever. What is the process for that student athlete at that point with regard to Auburn? What are they responsible for? At that point, Richard.
Sure. What is a student athlete responsible for? For sure. Okay. Well, let's just walk through an example. Let's say a popular option, clothing company approaches, let's just say, for example, a volleyball student athlete. Hey, you know what? We notice you have so many followers. You have 7,500 followers, 75,000 followers, 100,000 followers, whatever. And, you know, we want to expose our brand to your followers. You know, so the company might reach out to the athlete through their direct messages or DMs or email or something of that nature. And the athlete goes, yeah, I'd like to make a little money. Yeah, then, okay, well, you know, here's our standard rate. You know, we'll give you 5% of all sales if you just do some social media. We'll send you some swag, you know, some gear on the side of that if you just, you know, do some social media for us. So prior to entering that arrangement, what the athlete's going to do is disclose. So they're going to send the terms of that agreement. You know, they can screenshot it. They can PDF it, whatever. And they're going to disclose the terms of that agreement through Influencer.
Yeah, that's where the Influencer app comes in then for
right.
the athlete,
that's
right?
That's right. Yeah, okay. They're going to disclose it through Influencer. And then we'll conduct a review. you'll notice, like, one of the things I won't say today is we approve deals. Like, the presumption is that these deals are valid. The athletes have the right to engage in the market. So the state law, and we can go into this later too, gives us, you know, some rights to protect Auburn property and certain rights over what the student athletes can engage in, you know, but again, to protect Auburn's image. To the greater extent, these deals are presumptively valid. So we'll review for Auburn's rights, and then we'll get back with them, you know, generally pretty quickly.
It's that easy then?
Very easy. Right. Extremely easy. Now, the state law does confer some rights to Auburn. Like, for example, vice, you know, gambling, things that'll bring disrepute to the athlete, you know, adult entertainment, things like that. So we can take a harder look, I'll put it that way, at those kind of situations. Not necessarily that we'll reject it or disapprove of it. We can take a harder look. The second thing the state law does is any of the use of Auburn IP or property, right? So if this is your name, image, and likeness athlete, not Auburn's necessarily. So if you're going to associate with Auburn, you need to request permission. And of course, a lot of people pay a lot of money for that association. So you have to, you know, you have to pay the going rate for that, or otherwise it might be still an NCAA extra benefit. Other than that, there's a kind of some smaller clauses, maybe things like the contract can't extend beyond your eligibility, and so we'll look at things like that. Generally, you know, you're not signing a contract for 10 years. Obviously, this is name, image, likeness while you're at a four-year institution here, or Auburn in particular. So little things that we can look at under state law, but generally that review is pretty formulaic. Just, you know, check.
What training has Auburn provided for the student athletes? So they know what they're doing. They know what they're getting into at this point.
For sure. I'm glad you asked. Education is absolutely
important.
That's
the best way. Yes, education.
Education is, you know, that's what we're here for, right? That's what it comes down to in the end. So education is absolutely important for the student athlete, and it's required by the state law. We have to provide education and financial literacy, time management, academic resources, model budgets, things of that nature. So we come at it from a lot of different directions. One, influencer app, the influencer app itself, you know, influencer has exposure to so many student athletes, so many schools. So inside the influencer app, there's a bunch of educational modules. They'll talk about taxation, you know, how to brand yourself, the kind of companies you want to associate with. And athletes have access to that 24/7. As far as our education, so when the state law was coming out, we met with every single student athlete. We had Zoom sessions over the summer with every student athlete, like, this is what's coming, this is the app, this is the state law, you know, this is our contact information, which is probably the most important, because you're not going to remember a thing I'm telling you on, you know, June 31st. You know, you don't care. And no offense to the athlete, you know, they need a break. We would talk to every single student athlete over the summer. During the academic year now, we've partnered with the Harvard College of Business, so our Auburn College of Business, and professors have come in to give educational modules on financial literacy, branding, taxation, entrepreneurship, and they've also put those modules on the influencer app for athletes to receive. So if you know they want some more information about it. Just a quick story here. We had a session on a Monday, Professor Damian McIntosh, and he talked about financial literacy, and athletes enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed it. You know?
Give us some ideas about what came out of that session.
I'm glad you asked. Yeah. So glad you asked, yeah. So I enjoyed it. He starts with, you know, just interest, you know, saving. You know, like, how do you want to save? What's the importance of interest? You know, interest can accrue annually. It could be compound interest. It can accrue monthly. You know, so what are your best, you know, savings vehicles? And if you're particularly if you're a young athlete, you know, if you start saving now, you know, the benefits to you down the line, you know. So, you know, oddly enough, you know, the adults in the room, I guess everyone's an adult, but the older folks in the room, I'm taking notes too, because I'm like, man, I need to get on it, you know. and he talks about, you know, credit card debt, you know, just, hey, you know, keeping, you know, like, you got to manage that, you know, this is how debt accrues, you know, this is what you should be doing, things of that nature. Investing. You know, like, hey, this is what a savings account does for you. This is what an investment account does for you. There's a number of investment vehicles. There's mutual funds. There's stocks, you know, and it's just – and to see the athletes engage, you know, I mean, far greater than my sessions on name, image, and likeness and disclosure. Hey, this is my money. What can I do to, you know, make the most of it? I thought it was one outstanding presentation.
Yeah. The taxation part is something that, you know, I mean, for us, for you and I, it's something we deal with yearly, right?
Right.
For a student athlete, until now, in all likelihood, they didn't deal with taxes.
That's right.
if you're involved with name, image, and likeness now, mm-hmm. that's a reality for you as a college student.
Exactly.
Not that college students haven't dealt with that, because they have, if they've had a part-time job somewhere. I'm talking about student athletes, though.
For sure. I mean, just I try to flash back to several years ago. I don't recall dealing with taxes. Maybe I should have when I was a college student, you know. And then now, you know, we have incoming freshmen now that have to, 18-year-olds have to stare right in the face. Now, and presumably they have counseling or help or something of that nature, and we encourage it. Let me preface by saying that, you know, we're not a tax firm, Auburn Athletics. So we've encouraged them to seek that advice, you know. Hopefully employers are giving them the 1099s, the documents they need as independent contractors so they can file their taxes at the end of the year. You would hope in the case of many of them, actually, they probably don't have, depending on how much you make, you probably don't incur much tax liability. You know, I assume it's up, you know, you have to earn a certain amount of income to really start feeling the effects of taxation and name, image, and likeness. But again, we've encouraged all the athletes to go out and seek advice.
What is a common question that you get from student athletes in these early days of name, image, and likeness?
You know, what's awesome is it's not substantive, like how do I engage in the deal? What's a good deal? Things like that. It's all procedural. It's like, how do I disclose the
right.
deal?
Yeah.
You know, that's the guy, you know, we get texted 9:10 at night. How do I disclose the deal? You know, I would say second is, how do I request use of Auburn IP? You know, or what uses, let me clarify that even further. What uses are valid or legal, and what uses do we need, you know, requests from? Like, you know, if it's a news story, you know, presumptively, you know, it's editorial. You've been in the business for a long time. You know, a news story, you see Auburn logos all over the place, but there's, you know, there's some fair use there. That said, if you're associating with a commercial company, like, hey, what's the process for requesting, hey, people want to know me, not just me, but they want to know me as the Auburn athlete. You know, how mm-hmm. do I associate? What partnerships does Auburn have that would allow that association with a third-party company? So just to answer your question, most questions are how do I disclose, and then how do I request use of Auburn IP?
Hello, Auburn family. Let me tell you about another family in the state of Alabama, the Wickles family, makers of those wickedly delicious pickles. They've been pickling as long as I can remember. From football family tailgates to New Year's Day bowl games and every other day of the year, Wickles Pickles' secret 90-year-old recipe has been bringing those wickedly delicious pickles, okras, and relishes since 1998 from the Wickles family to yours. Wickles Pickles, those wickedly delicious pickles.
All right, Richard, we've talked about what the student athlete does, mm-hmm. the process. What about the general public? Someone has a business they want to associate with an Auburn student athlete. What's the process for someone out there that wants to become involved in NIL as the company, so to speak? But what's that process?
I'll start with this question, was kind of what they can do, what kind of things we have set up, and then kind of what people are doing around the country, you know, what kind of headlines we're seeing. Obviously, your company, you want to associate your business, your well-wisher or what have you, you want to associate with an athlete, you know, they can do something for you. First of all, NIL is an exchange, right? Not just a direct cash handoff.
Absolutely.
Right. So what can the athlete do for you to support your company or build your brand? And you could reach out to the athlete directly. We have a name, image, likeness NIL directory on the Auburn Spirit website, so you can reach out through that. So a lot of athletes have representation. So if you happen to know the representation, you can feel reach out to that way as well. With that said, it's just like any normal contract. You know, you reach out to the athlete, you decide the terms, what they'll do for you, and you can move on.
Does that company or individual need to contact Auburn, or do they go to the athlete?
They can go to the athlete directly, because we try to set up the directory. That said, if there are any questions about the process, because this is so new,
sure.
You can feel free to reach out to me directly. I have no problem with that. R Green, R-G-R-E-N-E at auburn.edu. I'd be glad to help out. And a lot of people have reached out. You can find us on our staff directory, too, as well, in compliance. Well, any of us will be happy to help out and helping you navigate the process.
You've talked about Auburn Spirit. Mm-hmm. Where can folks find out about Auburn Spirit?
Auburn Spirit, so it's our, if you go directly to our Auburn Athletics landing page, it is the NIL page. You should be able to find a link there. And the website has all the information about the state law, education, how to the NIL directory, branding, association with Auburn, tips for student athletes, financial aid, international students, you name it. We try to get that information up there.
In talking with Jeff Graba
over the summer mm-hmm. and through the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And we all know the incredible success mm-hmm. of Suni Lee, mm-hmm. who of course is a freshman mm-hmm. at Auburn and will be competing for the Auburn gymnastics team. He said, if not for NIL, in all likelihood, Suni Lee is not an Auburn Tiger at this point. After what she did in the Olympics and won the gold medal and won a silver and won a bronze, a college experience for her in all likelihood is not going to happen at that point. But NIL opens the door for Suni to be a college student athlete and also to reap the rewards of what she has done with the U.S. Olympic team. It was kind of an eye-opening experience to talk to Jeff about that. And, you know, I think there are some that look at NIL and go, oh, my goodness, this is terrible. It's awful. I can't believe it. The college athletics has come to this. But if not for that, we would not have the opportunity here in this gymnastics season, in all likelihood, to watch Suni Lee or other student athletes compete for Auburn University at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'll defer to Jeff on his recruiting pitches and how he managed to convince Suni to get here. But I will say, as an administrator, it's tough to look at an athlete who you know who's worth so much after being an Olympic gold medalist. I mean, just I can't even put a dollar figure on it because I don't know, and tell them, hey, you should forego that under NCAA rules to come here and compete. With all, you know, and not knowing, you know, what'll happen, you know, you hope the best for everybody, you know, but with NIL, you kind of get, I want to say, the best of both worlds. You know, you get the experience of, you know, gold medalists and, you know, obviously one of the best athletes in the world, period. And she doesn't have to forego her opportunity, you know, to earn compensation. Plus, she gets the college experience. Right. You know, like she wants to be like an 18-year-old.
And
know?
And from everything we gather in interviewing her and everything she said, mm-hmm. she wants that college experience.
That's right. So this is great for the athletes. And sure. and not just Suni. I believe there's others like Grace McCallum, Jay Carey, other people on that Olympic team that now get to have this college experience. Right. Whereas before, they would have had to make a choice. Like, hey, this is my peak value. Olympics come once every 4 years.
Sure.
This is my peak value. And it's just NIL's created a good opportunity for these athletes.
What can Auburn do for the student athlete regarding NIL? What is the line mm-hmm. that Auburn can or cannot cross right. when it comes to NIL?
Right. Yeah. I always look at it like a dartboard. You know, it's like an inverted though. You don't want to be in the middle. The thing we can't do is cause compensation. That's the terminology. So an employee of Auburn University, director, officer of Auburn University, or any institution that directly supports Auburn University, that's like Tigers Unlimited, our fundraising arm, things like that, whose direct purpose is to support Auburn University, can't cause compensation for the athlete. So
when you say that, what are you talking about, Richard? Mm-hmm. In practical terms.
Yeah, sure. I'm just spouted out the state language. What I'm saying is the employee, us, you and I,
yes,
can't pay the athletes to come here. Okay. Like that's the most egregious violation, right? Hey, you know, we'd love for you to come here. Here's some money. We belong to Auburn. We can't. This is really the marketplace, not us, asking. You know, confirm with the athletes. So we can't directly compensate or cause compensation. So aside from paying them, we also can't say, hey, I got a hookup. I know what you're talking about. You know, talk to this guy. Okay, that's also, you know, causing compensation. Beyond that, it gets nebulous. You know, it's like, hey, you know, if I announce that I know that an athlete has a deal, am I causing compensation? Or if I know about a deal, am I causing compensation? And then that when you drift off into that realm, you know, we're a little less concerned, I would say, but, you know, it's case-by-case basis how you evaluate that. I didn't answer your question, though. Well, what can we do? We can educate, you know, right. We can obviously educate. If a third party, you know, emails, you know, someone like myself, you know, hey, I want to reach out to the athletes, that we have an NIL directory on our Auburn Spirit website, and, you know, we'll tell you, hey, this is how you can reach out to the athlete, or might forward something along. I wouldn't want to put my coaches in that situation, forward something along without comment. Hey, this person reach out to you. I got nothing to do with it.
Right.
We're just facilitating communication that otherwise might not be able to occur. But other than that, we're really kind of restricted as a department to education.
And education doesn't stop with the student athletes, because you're also educating us.
That's right.
The staff.
That's right.
The coaches.
That's right.
In the athletic department.
That's right.
I mean, you and I've had Zooms.
Right.
Where you're telling a lot of the things that we're talking about in today's podcast – you're educating those of us with the Auburn Sports Network or various departments across athletics. That's part of the responsibility for Auburn Athletics as well.
That's right. And education, just like practical education. I mean, think of how many subjects you took that you don't use in school, you know, just and a lot of people in IL, it's like, hey, you know, if I'm in facilities, I don't necessarily know or feel like I need to know about NIL, but it's something that makes you more well-rounded, and so you're aware of it, and you can have an intelligent discussion about it. I think there's value in having an educated department.
You have a law degree from the University of Texas. How much of that are you using now in this day and age of NIL?
I would say one of the values of a law degree in general is critical thought. And one of the things I struggle with, and I'll come back to your question, when I first got to law school, is the idea that the law wasn't black and white. I thought, you know, I go to law school, I've got a decent memory. I'm not the best, but I'm not the worst. And I said, hey, if I memorize enough things, I could directly apply. And then I just breeze through it. And then as you read through cases and case laws, you realize there's differences of opinion. There's ambiguity. There's uncertainty. And I think what law prepares you for is how to navigate that uncertainty. Hey, I'm going to argue this point, but I'm also prepared to argue against myself. You know, like, hey, just in case, you know, somebody sees it differently. That's court, right? That you go to court, you know, you're not certain if you're going to win or not. You hope the judge takes your side. You prepare the best you can. To NIL, what's more uncertain than a law that's just been passed, no congressional oversight, the state commission that's supposed to be there to regulate and issue guidance hasn't yet met, you know, assume they will and sometime soon. And you have to go out and try to make the best good faith judgments for your institution, not alone, you know, and for the student athlete. And I think law school prepares you for that uncertainty that's come across right now.
It is a bit of a moving target.
That's right.
NIL right now, isn't it?
That's right.
And I would imagine it's changed since July 1st, when the first NIL deals were made public across the country.
I would say so. I mean, just recalling, not to get into Bo Nix too specifically, but just the fear on June 30th of like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be first, you know, like, you know, like, am I involved in this? The guy just wants, you know, the boat just wants to know, how do I disclose it? How do I comply with the state law? Right. You know, you're the first guy coming through influencer our app, you know, and you know, what do I need to know? What do I not need to know? So there's so much uncertainty, you know, in day one, you don't even know whether to take a deal in. Obviously it happened, you know, and you know, 12:01 a.m., you know, Bo Nix was one of the first athletes to break through. But now you have greater volume. You got more questions about association with Auburn. We have standing meetings with our trademark and licensing team every week and our rights holders and at Auburn administration to discuss complex issues. Like, you know, hey, if you do this for this person, you want to be fair, you want to be consistent. It's become a recruiting item now.
No question.
Yeah, you know, so maybe if you're a coach and you were kind of old school, or whether you accept it or not, really, you have to deal with NIL. You know, these athletes are making money, and presumably they'll want to go to a brand or have the best opportunity to maximize their potential.
How important do you think it is, Richard, at Auburn University, that what you're seeing is so balanced, not only in the high-profile sports, but in the Olympic sports, and not just male, but female as well, that there's a balance there right now for these student athletes regarding NIL?
You know, you want the Auburn experiences for everybody, you know, more than one sport. So, I mean, you understand that fully, you know, Auburn experiences for everyone, and you want your athletes. What I don't like hearing, and I heard it sometime, oh, well, I'm in such and such, I'm in this sport that doesn't apply to me. And what you want for your athletes and for your community is for everyone to feel like they're a part of it, or everyone has equal access or opportunity. And I think that motivates people a lot better than, you know, I'm saying, hey, you know, it's just a football thing or it's just a basketball thing. So to answer your question, the importance of gender equity or the importance of all equal access, I'm going to put it that way, helps us as a community. You know, when a community reaches out, you know, to more than just, you know, certain sports. You know, I think it helps our profile and it makes everybody better.
I guess opportunity is the key word there. There is opportunity for all of the student athletes, regardless of the sport, regardless of gender or whatever at this point.
That's right. That's right. And we've seen that, like, in terms of not just dollar figure, not dollar figures here, but just engagement. Like, people are interested. You know, like, social media existed before NIL. So, and people want their name out there. They want to – there's some – I would say some peer pressure. You know, you see other athletes, hey, they're carrying a drink. They're walking around with a drink. I want to do it, too. Or they're walking around with toothbrush, you know, with a special kind of toothpaste or a special kind of I'm not even making this stuff up. You know, a special kind of clothing, or they're doing little dances on TikTok or Instagram. People tend to want to, you know, be in the flow. So I think NIL gives them that opportunity to participate.
Where's all this headed, Richard? That's a loaded question.
Man, for a little man. A loaded question for a little bitty guy. The easy answer is more, right? Success breeds success, and as people tend to do well, it's obviously going to be a competitive environment. I imagine companies are going to make, depending on their associations or their allegiance to schools, they're going to make, or allegiance to athletes, you know, they're going to invest more in this. At some point, I think when you have an environment that's new like this, with all due respect to my Federalists out there, you're going to need some sort of congressional or national oversight. You know, otherwise, I think you might end up seeing some sort of race to the bottom when you have state by state legislation. Like, hey, you know, this state can do this, this state can do this, this state can do that. So I think at some point to set some safeguards and protections for the athlete, you might want to see you might end up seeing some federal legislation. Now, given where we are nationally, I don't know how quickly we'll get that.
Right.
But I think that's one of the things. So more competition, obviously, you'll see more investment. I think at some point we'll be driven towards some sort of federal national legislation. In the third, you'll see the educated athlete, you know, and more representation, you know, come into play here as athletes try to navigate their opportunities.
Thank you for the visit today. Thank you for kind of pulling back the cover a little bit on this topic.
Hey, I hope it helps.
Yeah,
hope
it helps. No, it does. It does. It does indeed. I appreciate the fact you came in to discuss something in its infancy, so to speak.
Yeah,
of NIL at this point.
It's a baby for sure, but thanks for having me, Ed.
Thank you. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
For Richard Green and the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by Wickles Pickles, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.